him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like the jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man that is of the angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardis, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Well, we begin with the expression, He says unto me, it is done. In John's Gospel, it begins, John the Baptist sees the Lord Jesus walking down the road, and he looks at him, and he says, Behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. And then we see in John's Gospel, toward the end of it, that the Lord Jesus is on the cross. And it says, he makes the statement, it is finished. And here he makes the statement, it is done. The Lamb of God in John's Gospel presents to us the redeeming Lamb. And he does a great work for God. And the results of that work are seen in Revelation chapter 5. Part of the results are seen in Revelation chapter 5. Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And so that redeeming work was finished. It was done on the cross. And as a consequence of it, many, many, many souls have been brought into blessing. We see in the earlier chapters of the Revelation, there's still souls. They're going to come and come into blessing by the redemptive work that was done on the cross. But the Lamb of God has a second work as well, connected with the first, and that is to bear away the sin of the world. It's necessary for him to act in power to restore or return to God the order of the earth that's now in a great state of disorder. And so we see that work throughout the Revelation, of that work to bring back into harmony with God the order of God's creation. And when it is all complete, and when we see the millennial work of the Lamb, as we had this morning in 1 Corinthians 15, we see him in the final phase of it presenting to God the end result. It's finished. It's done. Here is the result. And it's a result that's according to God's character, God's nature, and God's heart. And then we can enter into the state that we call eternity for God. And so he reminds us of that work that is being done, and then he brings before us two classes. There are those that overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the work of salvation for their souls. I trust, I hope that's the case for each one of us in this room this afternoon, that we are going to be looked at in, as overcomers, as redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But then there's another class in verse 8. Those that overcome inherit all things and are part of what follows in the chapter as well. But in the 8th verse, we have another class, and they are those who refuse to accept the work of the blood of the Lamb. Those who refuse to accept God's work for them through his Son, and they are going to enter into an eternal and a fixed state of things that in Matthew 25 is called eternal judgment. And here they have their part in the lake of fire, the second death. And so everyone in this room has to fall into one of these two categories when the end comes. Either those who have entered into eternal life, or those who are going to enter into eternal judgment. And we see the two sets of them brought before us in these verses. And then he goes on in the 9th verse to present us the Lamb's wife, the in her millennial glory.
I'd like to call attention to the end of verse 6. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I used to puzzle over why, in connection with the eternal state, it speaks of thirst. And I just give what I believe maybe the meaning is, that even in that eternal day, brethren, we are not going to be sufficient in ourselves. We will always be drinking of that fountain of the water of life freely, forever. He's going to satisfy our hearts. So often in this world, there's desires we have that are not satisfied. But there, every desire we could ever have, fully, completely satisfied. But man in himself is never sufficient in himself. We will always need our God to be fully satisfied.
Hmm. And if they could satisfy us, we'd be satisfied without God, and that would be horrible. We thank God that the natural desires of a sinful creation do not satisfy, and that only that which satisfies is the pure water of life.
I think in connection with thirst, too, that would be that desire to learn even more of our precious Savior, even in eternity. You know, those of us who've been married, we certainly didn't know everything about our wife when we married our wife. As that relationship grows, we learn more and more of each other. And the same will be true of our precious Savior in this life and in eternity as well.
It shows too, doesn't it, that the life that we're going to have there is no different than the life we have now. We have the very life of Christ now, eternal life. It's a perfect life. But as another has said, well, that is true. It is a dependent life. And so we encourage one another to drink in the water of the Word now, to feed on Christ through the Word. Is the life we're going to have in eternity any different than it is now? No. And so even later on, we find that in the midst of the city, there's the tree of life that bear 12 manner of fruit, every fruit in its season. And again, as another has said, the fruit there is for the sustaining of divine life. The leaves are for the healing of the nations, but the fruit is for the sustaining of divine life. So we're going to eat and drink in that day, just as that life, if it's going to be healthy and fruitful and for God's